Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. You may turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Continuing on in Hebrews chapter 11, I've been there for the last four times, I think, that I was able to bring the message. Over the last few months, I think we're going to wrap it up today. Last time we only covered two verses, but today I think we'll be able to get to the end, is the plan. Hebrews chapter 11, again, last time I covered verses 30 and 31, so I'm going to begin reading there, but our main verses for today are 32 through verse 40. So in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 30, it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." Let's pray as we begin this morning. God, there's a lot here to unfold this morning. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your leading and guidance. Pray that this scripture would find its way into our hearts, that we would be able to receive from you what you have prepared for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The author of Hebrews, again, the author of Hebrews. Who knows who the author of Hebrews is? Please tell me, because I don't know. He's not known. It's the only book in the Bible that we do not actually know the author of Hebrews. It's interesting. There's many different theories. I'll let you discover them on your own, but we don't know who wrote Hebrews. It is by pure merit of what is written that it was allowed into the Bible as we know it. And the author of Hebrews starts out in Hebrews 11 with a walk through the great halls of faith. He begins with, "By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe." And when the author of Hebrews gets to verse 32, where we're picking up the message from today, we see he just starts with the names, and he does not actually explain their faith stories as he did earlier in the chapter. He just names their names, and you as the reader are expected to know their individual faith journeys. He says in verse 32, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." And so a question is this morning, do you recognize those names? Maybe a better question, do you know their faith stories? Gideon, do you remember Gideon's story of faith? Of God raising a leader from the least of the children of Israel. That's how Gideon began. He was the least of the least. It's in Judges chapter 6. Read the story again if you don't remember the faith story of Gideon. How about this? Do you recognize the name Barak? Now, it's not Barak. It's actually Barak. And it's from Judges 4. If you don't recognize it, read it sometime. The story of Barak. I think we all recognize Samson. And it's found again in Judges 13. And as I recall the life, faith story of Samson, it didn't seem like he had a lot of faith. And yet, here he is, mentioned in the halls of faith in Hebrews 11. How about Jephthah? Do you remember Jephthah from the Judges 11? I didn't remember him. I had to read him this week. It's not really a bedtime story. But it is accounted there in the halls of faith. And I'm certain that you all remember David, with David and Goliath, and David and Saul, and David and Solomon. And there are many stories of faith from the life of David, and a few of falling, but many more stories of faith. And we must remember the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, and God calling him as a little boy, laying in his bed. And God called, and Samuel thought it was Eli, and he ran up and said, "Here I am." That story is found in 1 Samuel 3. And many, many more prophets from the Old Testament are listed here in Hebrews 11, and it just says, the prophets. They are not mentioned by name specifically. And then again, it appears that the author expects you to know who the prophets are. He expects you to know them, their name, and their deeds. Do you remember the prophets? A fun quiz is, how many prophets can you name? As Hebrews 11 continues, the author lumps a few of the works of faith from our forefathers from the Old Testament into three verses. He says in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. And just so you know that this list isn't made up, I took the opportunity here to give you references for each of those things. Now, I thought of a story for each of those items. You may have thought another story, and that's fine. I'm sure there's more than just one story for each of these listings. But as I ponder, these are what I thought of. And again, you can come up with your own list. But when it says, who faith subdued kingdoms, I thought of course, I just studied this, but I thought of the walls of Jericho coming down, found in Joshua chapter 6. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. It says, by faith the walls fell down. And then it says, who through faith worked righteousness. And I had to think, well, of the Old Testament, who worked righteousness? And my mind was drawn to Joseph. Beginning in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph worked righteousness through slavery, through temptation, through prison, even through greatness. And exaltation, Joseph still worked righteousness. Through his faith, he worked righteousness. And again, who through faith obtained promises? My thoughts were, I had to think of the children of Israel. As the plagues were falling on the Egyptians, their faith obtained the promises of protection. As we see the account of the plagues beginning in Exodus chapter 7. And it says, who through faith stopped the mouths of lions? And yes, I think we're all thinking of Daniel and the lion's den. It's in Daniel chapter 6. That story it never gets old. You can read that story again and again and again and again. The story of Daniel and the lion's den never gets old from Daniel chapter 6. Who through faith quenched the violence of fire? And I think also we're thinking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This story also doesn't get old. It doesn't fade. The story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the fire and God joining them in the fire as a story of faith, it's one that doesn't get old, that we can read again and again. And that's found in Daniel chapter 3. Who through faith escaped the edge of the sword. And I thought of Rahab again, because she believed she was spared. And as you recall, everyone except those found in her house perished. And it says in Joshua chapter 6 that they perished by the sword. Who through faith became valiant in battle. And I remembered Ehud, E-H-U-D, from Judges 3. Again, it's not a bedtime story, but it's an interesting story. Who through faith became valiant in battle. Who through faith turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This one I had to think about a little bit. Who through faith turned to flight the armies of aliens. I thought of the story of Elisha when the Syrian army encamped around and surrounded him, and his servant was very scared. And so Elisha prayed that his servant would see the armies. And sure enough, his servant saw the armies of God on flaming chariots all the way around their city that was encircled by the Syrians. And then Elisha prayed that the Syrians would go blind, and they did. And Elisha went out and led them far away to another place. And this account is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. Who through faith turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then the last one listed, who through faith women received their dead raised to life again. I thought of Elijah. It's in 1 Kings 17, when he brings a widow's son back from the dead. Again, through faith this was accomplished. Let's read verses 32 through 38 again. And this time I want you to notice a change in the middle of the passage. It says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David and Samuel and prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Right in the middle of this passage, it almost feels like a cold wind kind of blows in. Everything is kind of going rosy in verse 32, and even the first part of verse 35. Even the dead are raised. Everything is just better, way better with faith. Everything's wonderful. All is well, and God is caring and protecting all those who have faith. But then in the middle, without even a pause, in verse 35, there comes a change. All of a sudden, things are not so well, and they're not so happy. And I thought we were talking about the great things of faith that happened to great people. What changed? Who turned the lights off? Why the negativity? How can the author, in one breath, go from great blessings of faith to the great trials of faith? In fact, in the margin of my Bible, I wrote great blessings, and then right below it, great trials, all beside verse 35, in the same verse. Great blessings and great trials. How can this be in the same breath? The author does not stop or reflect. He doesn't encourage us about the great blessing of faith that can be had. He just goes head first immediately into the trials. Why such a dramatic change in temperature? No warning. Everything changes. And so I had to wonder, why the change? What made the difference here? Why from wonderful to terrible? One verse. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. As I pondered this question, I came up with two plausible answers. And you may gladly share your thoughts with me on this later. I'm not trying to say that my thoughts are the only thoughts, all right? But it's possible here. My mind went to the fact, the first thing I noticed, that the only consistency in the two complete opposite ends of verse 35 is faith. It is the same faith that allows you to escape the edge of the sword in verse 34. And it is the same faith that allows you to be slain by the sword in verse 37. Did you see that? In verse 34, it says we escape by faith. In verse 37, it says we are slain by faith. Underline it. Verse 33, who through faith obtained promises. Who through faith had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment, in verse 36. In verse 34, who through faith out of weakness were made strong, and who through faith were stoned. It is the same faith. We typically think faith is a blessing. But here, in black and white, we see that faith is neither blessing nor trials. It's just faith. I had to think this morning, I guess it was last evening, they weren't necessarily thinking of trials when they thought of the faith school down there. I mean, nothing against the school, but I studied this. Faith became not necessarily a pleasant word. It just became faith. It's not blessing, and it's not necessarily happy thoughts. I know many people have on their walls at home faith. It's just faith. For to have faith, one must endure both blessings and trials. Faith is faith. I'm going to give my small group a head start this morning, and other lay pastors, if they want to use this, it's fine. Give you a little idea. I'm going to ask each one of them in my small group to share a trial or blessing of faith. To share a trial or blessing of faith. You see, faith transcends blessings. Faith transcends or exceeds even our trials. Faith outweighs all the things that weigh us down. And faith lifts us far above the earthly blessings that we may receive here. Faith is faith. Faith needs no blessing to define it, and it allows no trial to confine it. I bolded that. It came out of my fingers. I trust that it would encourage you. Faith needs no blessing to define it, and it allows no trial to confine it. The first way we can come to grasp with both the extremes of blessings and trials all in the same verse is to fully understand that faith is the overriding connection that when added does not bring more questions but brings peace to our circumstances. Faith is the bridge that spans both sides of blessings and trial and connects them in a peaceable way. Let us read this passage again, understanding that faith is faith. Faith is not blessing, and faith is not trials. Faith is faith. As I read this again, instead of feeling a cold wind of change, look for the peace that passes understanding. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. Reading this passage in light of faith being neither blessings nor trials brings peace. And ultimately, even more trust in God. This passage is not about blessings. It's not about trials. It's about faith. And again, my question was, why the dramatic change in the middle of verse 35? And one answer we pondered here was because faith is faith, and it's not blessing and not trials. The second thing I noticed in these verses was, with this change in the middle, was noted in verse 38. What was one thing that tied both of these things together, both blessings and trials? What was something that tied them together? And I noticed the little key in verse 38. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. That keyed me into something. These blessings and these trials are earthly. These trials and these blessings that we have are earthly. All the blessings and the trials made possible are made possible by and through faith. They're all earthly. What ties this list together allows us to read in one breath the apparent climatic change between blessings to trials. Because honestly, brothers and sisters, this is where we live. We live in blessings and we live in trials. And sometimes it feels like even in the same sentence, as we find it here in Hebrews 11, verse 35. This is how we live. We're typically not warned about our trials until there's pain. And pain is usually the first glimpse of hardships that's on our way. But you know, it's too late to be warned if pain is our first acknowledgement of a coming trial. Because when there is pain, our trial is already upon us. We live on earth. And as such, we are confined to the curse of sin and death. But we are able to walk through this world of sin and death with a companion. The Holy Spirit that Luke referenced earlier this morning, which we receive by, you guessed it, faith. We receive the Holy Spirit through faith. We live on this earth in a state that is not able to see the future, nor can we see the past. We live in the present only. And as we live in this present state, it takes faith to look ahead and to see the promises that's in the Word. And as we live in this present state, it takes faith to believe the past, for we cannot see it. We must believe that it was true. It takes faith. And so we conclude that faith is not earthly. In fact, faith in the things of this earth are shallow and meaningless. They are a mirage in the desert of life, for when you get to where you think you want to be in this life, it all becomes dust in your hand. So we first recognize this morning that faith is not blessing or trials, for faith is faith. And second, we recognize that faith is above the blessings and trials on this earth, for our faith is not from this earth. And with that understanding, we can grasp that blessings and trials can all be in the same breath and in the same verse at the same time without a pause. And from a heart of faith, there is peace, regardless of blessings or trials. That's so easy to say and very, very difficult to do. It's easy to recognize and hard to complete that task. And yet we have encouragement, and I believe that's what is referenced in these last two verses, in verse 39 and 40. Speaking of those who have gone on before us that we just talked about, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. It's kind of a little confusing, and I had to read and ponder these verses many times, and I'm not sure that I have I'm certain I don't have a complete understanding of those two verses. As the little bit that I was able to perceive, it did connect with me and make sense to wrap up the greatest chapter in faith in the Bible with these simple verses. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And the author reflects back on all the heroes of the faith. He notes that none of these actually received the promise. That he says there in verse 40, he says, God having provided something better for us. It would seem that the author is implying that we have received the promises today. And in fact, brothers and sisters, we have. We have all the promises. We have something better than any of the great men and women of faith ever had. They never had this. In fact, for the first five books of the Bible, they didn't even have anything that they could touch, that they could call scripture. It was all verbal, passed down from generation to generation through memorization. It wasn't until Moses that it was actually written down. And all of those great men and women of faith did not have what we have today. God, having provided something better for us, I believe it's his word. Something that we need to cherish and hold on to, read and understand and memorize. For we have all the promises right here. And then the line says that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Tells me that part of their perfection is found in reading about their faith right here. It kind of implies that it says that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Part of our faith foundation, part of our faith fathers and our faith mothers, part of their perfection is that we get to continually to read about them again and again and again and again. Their story continues to live through God's word. The better provision for us today is hearing and telling about the many stories of faith from all the heroes of our Christian faith that have gone on before us. It's part of their continuing to be made perfect. Their story continues for us. Brothers and sisters, it is our turn now to be the heroes. Did you know that? It's your turn to be the hero. It's your turn to be the hero of the faith. You get one shot. It's between birth and death to be the hero, and it's your turn. You get to be the hero. Now is the time to live out both blessings and trials. For some here, God, through his ultimate wisdom, has asked you to carry your faith through prosperity. For some of you, God has asked for you to carry your faith through prosperity. It's not easy. Some of you have been burdened with that task, that your faith must be in the forefront, even in prosperity. For some here, God, in his wisdom, may ask some of you to carry your faith through cancer. It is not easy. And yet, it may be the task that God's calling you to. Both journeys take faith. And of course, my questioning mind had to wonder which one is more difficult. And I couldn't really answer that question. I don't know. Both journeys require you to keep your eyes out of this world and fixed by your faith on your heavenly goal. Both journeys. Whether it's illness or prosperity, both journeys require your eyes to be fixed on your goal. It requires faith. Brothers and sisters, it is our turn to be the heroes of the faith. It's our turn. Let us live it. Amen. Dear God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the way that it encourages and for the way that it challenges us. God, help us not to put faith in anything of this world. God, the things of this world are so temporal, whether it's wealth or whether it's health, God. They are fleeting. God, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to keep our faith firmly planted in your word. Keep our faith firmly planted and our eyes fixed on our heavenly goal. So that one day you would be able to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. In whatever, God, you give us, whether it's in the first part of these verses that we looked at or it's one of those things in the last part of the verses, God, we don't know what's coming. We don't know trials until we feel pain. God, prepare our hearts for what's needed. Because again, we have to trust you. God, we do trust you with the uncertainty of our nation. With the uncertainty of our own health. With the uncertainty of what will become of our children. God, give us the faith that enables us to be the heroes today of the faith for our nation, for our neighbors, for our children, that your word may go on, it may continue. God, we are so grateful that we have been entrusted with all of the stories. God, there are so many that have gone on before us that have only received a fraction, just a small, small part of the story of faith, of the greatness of who you are, God. And yet, God, you have chosen us to give us individually every one of the promises. God, the entire map and foundation from beginning of creation to the end of Revelation, God, is here before us. God, I believe that we will be accountable because we held all of the promises in our hands at one time. God, help our hearts to be soft. Give us your eyes as we look to others. God, help us to have the faith that opens our mouth and that moves our feet and that extends our hands so that we truly can be the heroes of the faith that we carry. In Jesus' name, amen. And the chorister, please come and lead us in closing song.